For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey guys, welcome to the TechPoint Africa podcast, remote edition. My name is Muiwa.
My name is Oluwani Femi.
And I'm Mano.
This is the third week, I think. Third week of our working from home.
Yeah.
Yeah, because this is the third edition of the remote edition. I mean, it's been a challenge, as you might imagine. It's been crazy. I don't know how it has been for you guys.
It's been really, really terrible for me.
And it seems my network has taken a dip. In the last 1 week, I think now
I guess a lot of people are online at home and online and and then we're hearing rumors that Lagos State might, so we are not sure if Nigeria, the federal government, might be extending the lockdown because it's supposed to end today, Friday, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, but we're not sure if they're going to extend, but we're hearing rumors that Lagos State is planning to extend the lockdown. I don't know how that will be.
It seems like it's not. Only in Nigeria, other countries too might be clamoring for an extension because of increased cases. So maybe that would be Lagos State's explanation for that if they are going to extend it.
But I mean, just recently, was it not Wuhan, one of the city zero, that they finally, 72 days of lockdown, they finally...
72.
They finally stopped the lockdown. Like.
Wow.
72 is a lot, but anyway, we just hope that everything turns out fine. I mean, it's been an interesting week of news. Before we get to the really, really, really juicy and interesting stuff, let's talk about some things. So, M-Pesa, Kenya's M-Pesa, has been acquired by.
Did we see this coming?
Well, first of all, the thing is, we Safaricom has always been touted as the one behind M-Pesa, Apparently, they were just running it on behalf of Vodafone. Of course, Vodafone owns a stake in Safaricom, owns a stake in Vodacom. Well, first of all, the news. Safaricom and Vodacom have acquired M-Pesa from Vodafone.
Wow.
From the UK's Vodafone. So, I mean, this is a deal that has been in the works for at least 3 years, 2017.
Wow.
Because I remember at that time, back then, Vodafone transferred its 35% stake in M-Pesa to Safaricom. Was it Safaricom or Vodacom? The whole idea was because they're trying to launch in South Africa. They had launched a year before in 2016, but it failed. So they had planned to launch in South Africa. And then the CEO of Safaricom also said that, Bobby Colimo, also said they were planning to come to Nigeria.
Mm.
But that never happened. And it has still not happened.
Yeah, I think we even did an article on why it might not even fly in Nigeria.
I remember writing that was 3 years ago. Mm. And I mean, at the time, the regulatory environment was very different. You know, mobile money was led by banks instead of the telecommunication. Like in Kenya, why it works so well is that it was the telecoms, the Safaricom, that was driving mobile money. But in Nigeria, it was only the banks that could. But now it's different. We have PSBs, payment service banks. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what's going on here. I mean, now that Vodafone, I don't know why they did that, whether it was to, like, exit or maybe we'll find out. But, yeah, I think it's good news, and we'll see what will come up from that.
Okay, but it's still a bit confusing. I think Vodafone is still Vodafone's parent company. In essence, Vodafone still...
I think it's illegal. So what is happening is, like I said, if you go back to the article from 2017, what is happening is Vodafone giving Vodacom ownership of M-Pesa will make it easier for them to, because of the whole regulation about local ownership and all of that, in this different African group. So I think it will give them more... and give them more leverage to be able to move and expand the way they want to expand. I think that's what's happening. And don't forget that they seem a bit saturated in Kenya already.
Yes.
So being able to...
It will be a good thing for other African countries, for Nigeria.
Maybe it will make mobile money more. They're in other African countries, but they're not in Kenya, South Africa, and Nigeria, and Egypt.
Two big markets.
No, they're in Egypt, sorry. Yeah, they're not in Ethiopia. So, yeah, it will be interesting to see how it goes. Yeah, then last week we talked about NIDA, Nigeria's IT regulatory body, setting up a committee for something, and we're like, oh, what's going to happen with this committee?
Change of name?
Mm-hmm. Exactly, change of name of the former committee. But it seems like there's some steps being taken.
So far, last week, the committee was given 48 hours to come up with a recommendation. So according to Tommy Davis, posted a tweet on Twitter that, okay, we've come up with a recommendation that, according to him, Ejukulali said, okay, you should do something about this within the next 48 hours too. That's what he told NIDA, and encouragingly, NIDA decided to do something. They created a form online where startups offering essential services can be exempted from the lockdown. So we're talking about health tech startups, we're talking about delivery startups, even startups that are into food production or agricultural projects.
But aren't they exempted already?
Yes, that was what I was going to say.
It's like the form, once you submit the form, NIDA identifies who is who, then submit the list to the federal government for special intervention.
No, I mean, like, aren't they already exempted based on the lockdown policy where they say essentials are exempted already?
Because
I know someone who runs a health startup. Jero Care. Last week, they were delivering supplies for the elderly, and they were able to do so because, you know, they can claim the essential status. So, is it just like audio policy or like, I don't understand, because is there something different?
Take example of what happened last week. Jumia's warehouse. Jumia is supposed to be one of the essential services startup, but one of their warehouses was still shut down by Lagos. So there's still confusion, especially when it comes to these tech guys. So I think it's to clear that, because like all those for 360 lorry, some of them were even confused. Okay, they don't know if they're exempted or not, because of course there's movement restrictions, and the law sometimes, when the law is ambiguous, so there's no specific line the law addressing something, so people can actually take advantage and law enforcement officers can do whatever they like, because of course they don't understand most of all these technical services.
I think I understand now, because sometimes this week I called some food delivery guys. They are operating online grocery stores. So some of them mentioned how they are restricted to some areas because it's close to them due to the lockdown. So I think this should help them if they registered with NIDA, and NIDA certifies them that they are essential services, then they can go anywhere around the state doing their normal deliveries. So I think, I think I understand what they're trying to do now.
Personally, like, I used to order off because I'm lazy. So no single restaurant is open around this area. So I'm staying in Solo. So there's no restaurant open with off food. I think not to clear people's doubt about what is essential and what is not essential.
Essential.
Yeah.
Because besides essentials, a business must go on, you know.
A lockdown
can be a very, very trying times. People can be very aggressive and apprehensive and anxious and all of that. And that brings me to what has been going on this past week. I think this started last week, Friday. The whole conversation about 5G and how it's supposed to be the conspiracy theory that is the cause of coronavirus, and there's this large conspiracy and collaboration among all the world leaders in the world to confuse their citizens. Like, it's been crazy.
It is.
I don't know what do you guys think about all of this?
Thing is, I think sometimes when things like this happen, we look out for explanations to why now. Why this? So when the conspiracy came out, I think people that have been looking for something to hold on to before, when this one now came out, it was not as if, yes, now we have an explanation. Where does this have to happen? So I think that is like playing on the our like the vulnerability of people for an explanation for what is going on. So I think that was how it was able to go far, and a lot of people believe in the conspiracy. So, but yes, as it is, we have looked for answers for it. So I think it's just the times.
So I mean, I want to be careful about, you know, like, you know, being opinionated about this, but I mean, a lot of the things, the quote-unquote facts that are being shared to support the conspiracy theories just seem kind of outrageous, to be honest. So we're talking about how the radiation from 5G causes is the cause of coronavirus. And then, you know, people are going ahead to Google and seeing what's... So the thing is, this is the first thing, first of all. It's not up to a year already. It's not up to a year that any nation has had commercial 5G at all. Even the Singapores and the China and the and South Korea, that have it. I mean, it's not up to, it's not, I don't think it's been up to 8 months yet. That's kind of, so if you look at it, it's very early. It's too early to say that anyone that you, to observe or see the effects of 5G. And even radiation, the way radiation works and kills people, like it's radiation poisoning or cell poisoning. It's a long, it yes, affects exactly. The it takes over a long time. It's not sudden. Like the theories are saying, like, oh, immediately the 5G was switched on, people were dying. It doesn't work that way. And then we're talking about a disease that is contagious. Radiation will not cause contagious disease.
From what we understand, your DNA, and you have to pass it.
Like, it's crazy. And then we're seeing videos of people, people are sharing videos that they are digging 5G cables.
That was strange. Like, okay, so my conversation with an engineer, it was like, the sun is more likely to, the radiation from the sun is more likely to kill you than the radiation from a telecom device.
Because
it's non-ionizing,
non-ionizing
radiation. Non-ionizing radiation is, the energy levels are very low. And even if there's an effect, even if there's an effect, it takes place over a long period. But people don't understand that. And now they are attacking, I heard they attacked a telecoms and a technician. Of which the cables they are digging are for normal fiber. Fiber a lot of, even before the lockdown, a lot of fiber broadband providers have been digging cables all around because there are conversations around right of way and all of that. They've been digging cables, so they're just continuing the work. That they've been, because right now there's more need for internet, but they're assuming it's 5G cables, but 5G doesn't work by using cables. 5G is to complement all of that, the cables with transmitters, and 5G is supposed to help reduce latency. So with more transmitters and all of that, penetration, how fast the signals get to you, and ideally it's supposed to be like mobile communication, so that there's no need for, especially for last mile, there's no need for cables and all of that. And then, of course, the whole question about people are claiming there's 5G in Nigeria. That one is also crazy.
Yeah, so they are making reference to MTN's 5G trial in Abuja and Lagos and Calabar.
So I think Imana should just explain what that one was about.
Okay, so it's just like a demo, a proof of concept. Like, okay, this is possible. And it was restricted to just MTN's office. If you day I went for the trial here in Lagos, if you are outside the office, you will not even, like, just directly outside the office, you will not even notice anything like 5G on it until you enter inside the testing environment and look at the device you are using to test 5G. You won't, there's nothing. So that was just like a prototype. This is possible. These are the possibilities. And I think it was just for 3 months. And they concluded the trial, and no spectrum had been awarded. And frankly speaking, we've not even developed 4G to a sufficient level of penetration before you start talking.
I mean,
about
just 5G. Just like you were saying, you were in Lagos, you observed it. I was in Abuja too in November when it happened. But when the test in Abuja was, it was just in the MTN office. Just like they hacked together infrastructure. It's not like you said, restricted to the office. You know, so it was just a demo, and it ended in March. That was November, December. No, 3 months: November, December, January. So it ended in January. It was or February. It was just to see the possibilities, and they had Ericsson provide the infrastructure for Lagos, Huawei for Abuja, and ZTE for Calabar, just to show the capabilities and what they could do. That was all it was. So, And even the funny thing is, like you said, 4G as the penetration, 4G penetration is not even, I don't think it's up to 2% in Nigeria. If I'm really, I can't remember the exact figures. And most people cannot even afford a 4G connection yet.
Because there are some devices, it's restricted to some devices to start with.
Exactly, like that is very true too. So you even need a 5G capable device.
Which?
And then why would the telcos be releasing a signal that will be killing their potential customers? Like, it's odd.
It's counterintuitive. Like, so
it's
really. And they're saying, okay, that's why they locked down Lagos and Abuja, but Calabar is not on lockdown, and theirs was even the fastest.
So the way it worked, the like you said, they were trial frequencies, not actual frequencies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just no spectrum has been given. But what they did was they used existing spectrums, like the 4G, existing 4G spectrum, and dedicated a few frequencies for them to be able to, you know, run those tests that they did that time, that MTN ran. And in Abuja, they used, if I remember very correctly, in Abuja, it was, Calabar had the highest frequency. Calabar was like about 100 megahertz that was given to Calabar, allocated to Calabar, while MTN and Lagos had, I think Lagos had about 20.
Yeah, the lowest.
So even Calabar had the highest frequency allocated to it. But Calabar is not locked down.
Yes. And that's because there are not many coronavirus cases there. So the lockdown is because of coronavirus cases, not because of 5G or how it's connected to it.
I've been receiving a lot of backlash since. Okay, I shared the article on my WhatsApp. I've been receiving a lot of
the article you did about like 11 questions.
So I think those who know and or are sure of enough facts, if not totally in the knowing, should enlighten those who don't. Now I was speaking with a family who actually believed that 5G is like mark of the beast and is the one that caused coronavirus. I actually enlightened her. She said before I told her, she was already praying that God should save us. So, and after I told her, she accepted it. She told her husband, then started forwarding it to people that this is not something to be scared about. So I think if people that know it can speak with people that don't, especially people who are like vulnerable to fake news that they can't confirm, so you can just tell them and let the message pass across, because the conspiracy started from somewhere. Got people scared people tell people get scared, and many more people get scared. So that one's like bringing hope to people that are scared already. So just tell people when you know, tell people.
So yeah, that's cool. That's a very good it's very nice that your relative, your family member was able to, you know, listen to you. But a lot of people don't want to listen.
Yeah.
So there's still that fear around all of that. And it's very understandable because, you feel like there's this large conspiracy theory and all the nations in the world and all the leaders are trying to, you know, and then there's this fear that it could be used as a weapon. Mm. 5G itself could actually be used as a weapon. And maybe it's a valid fear. I don't know. Is it a valid fear?
Yeah. It's maybe so much time. Okay. Sorry.
Yes, you know, increase in improvement in technology will also cause improvement in other sectors. So say technology has been helping to build nuclear weapon. So when you increase the technology, what do you expect? It's still going to help it. So maybe it's a valid reason to be afraid, but it's just normal, like development happens across the board. So it's possible.
Yeah, so apart from the improvements to make to all the scary weapons we see with the likes of US and Russia, then there's also the fear that it could be used for espionage and spy activities. So, they could install 5G equipment near your house and be gathering data from you and sending it to their company headquarters. So, all these issues with data privacy and the rest of that might become heightened with 5G, because it will be very, very fast. What billions of data that we could probably take, say, 5 hours, you can do it in under 30 minutes or 10 minutes. And you won't even know what's going on. So that's also a matter.
I mean, like all technologies, they always be put to positive and negative use. Even the Facebook app that you use.
Mm-hmm.
The Facebook, the Twitter, the WhatsApp, all the apps we use for free, they're all gathering our data. And sometimes you put all that responsibility on those companies. So it now depends on how responsible they are. Some seem more responsible. Twitter, for example, seems to be more responsible than Facebook in handling your private data because they've not had that many scandals. But we don't know. We don't know for a fact whether they are. So it depends on how. So the question is, do you want to put all the responsibility and power in the government, in the private company, or your data? Those are the questions and discussions we'll be having over the years. But the fact is still, there are many positives. There are many use cases for 5G that are wonderful. And one of them is agriculture. Another one is education.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, for example, being able to take courses from the best universities around the world because you can use VR headsets that can able to stream live. So there's a difference. There's one thing to be sitting in front of a laptop or a phone and taking lectures. There's another thing to be sitting on a chair. And then it's as if you're in a classroom because every other person there is a hologram that you're seeing through your VR headset.
You're
seeing your lecturer.
I actually saw a simulation of a doctor using VR. I don't know to carry out an operation. I don't know how, a surgery rather. So I don't know how it's done, but I'm sure technologies like this can speed up those kind of...
So that's the use case for medicine, right? Like, so for example, me say a surgeon who is the world expert in a very, very narrow field. So not because a surgeon in far away, maybe Pakistan or India, who cannot fly down to your country, not because you don't have a good surgeon in your own country, but because he's the only expert in that particular field. He can... Where you can, via robot hands, operate on someone in Nigeria from Pakistan. Wow. And because, surgery is very, very, very sensitive, where every movement matters, every second matters, you know.
But with the strength of
5G, there's very low latency, so the speed is so fast that it can operate from that far away country to where you are, and everything will move smoothly. So that's another use case. There's education, like I said before, there's agriculture, there are so many use cases, smart cities, Internet of Things, so many wonderful use cases. And of course, the usual downloading of videos and all of that.
Yes, in seconds. It'll
be so fast. Yeah, in seconds. So, like, so many benefits. I mean, yes, there will always be negatives in terms of military use as weaponizing and all of that. But I mean, the more aware we are of all these things, the easier it is going to be to handle or question authorities, you know. So I don't think it's all doom and gloom. I think what we should focus more now on is how we can survive this lockdown if it's extended, and how we can stay safe and stay healthy, and how we can plan towards after the lockdown so that our business can stay afloat, and all of that. So, I mean, it's very important for everyone listening. Please, still stay safe. There's coronavirus out there. It is contagious. We saw a release by the NCDC yesterday saying they've only tested about 5,000 Nigerians so far.
Wow. No,
that's a very small number.
5,000.
It's a very small number.
We can't even certify that it's 5,000 people because they said 5,000 samples. Maybe there might be cases where somebody might be tested more than once. And even heard that those that are in the centers, in the isolation centers, when they are treated, after days, they are tested. If they test negative, they are tested again. So those ones contribute to the number of samples they're talking about. So it doesn't mean that they've tested like 5,000 Nigerians, just 5,000 samples.
So it's probably way less Nigerians they've tested.
Yes, exactly.
And that's reflecting in the small numbers of confirmed. Because when you see other countries having so many confirmed cases, you're like, what's going on?
Is it that we have something we are treating it with? Because for somewhere like US, that numbering above 1,000 deaths in a day, then you'd be wondering is Nigeria doing something that US is not doing? How?
And people are now questioning, is Nigeria trying to fill among? And then with the whole issue with the Accountant General's office being burnt, people don't understand that money is not kept in that place.
Yes,
they are wondering where are the donations? Where are the rockets of the donations? Are they just I mean, we don't have the answers to all these questions, I mean, I feel like it's possible that there are many deaths that are going on that are not tied to coronavirus because they were not tested.
Yeah.
So yes, we don't know. Exactly.
We're not keeping all the records, you know. I mean, we don't know. What we don't know, what we're not sure of, we don't go out and claim it as fact. And that's what we need to be careful about, whether it's the 5G causing coronavirus or not, and all of that. It's very important.
Yes.
Anyway, guys, what do you think so far? We've talked about M-Pesa being acquired by Safaricom and Vodacom. What does that mean for mobile money in Africa? We've talked about NIDA's move to support startups that are taking care of essentials in Lagos, in Nigeria. What was that about? And then what do you think about the whole 5G situation, 5G and coronavirus conspiracy theories? We'd like to hear what you think. You can email us at podcast@techmoon.africa. You can tweet at us. Our handle is as techpointsdotng. You can also use the hashtag techpointafricapodcast. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like to know what you think, and we hope you are still staying safe.
Yeah.
Nifemi, where can they get the podcast if they're listening for the first time?
You can get your podcast from Google Podcast. You can get it from Spotify and any other places that you get your podcast from.
Yeah. Emmanuel, do you have any parting words about 5G to share with anyone?
When in doubt, please verify. That's the major concern.
Yes, that is like this. Yeah.
And just avoid.
I love that.
Spreading what you are not sure. Yeah, exactly.
I love that. When in doubt, verify. And I think it's on that note that we end today's edition of the podcast. We hope that you guys will listen next week again. Hopefully, there will. We don't know whether or not the lockdown would have ended. So, but whatever happens, whether lockdown or no lockdown, we'll be here again next week. So, we hope you'll be listening.
Yes.
I'm not very good at advice, but
signing out, guys, right?
Bye. All right. Bye-bye.
Peace out.
All right.
Peace out.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.